The things that have been going on in the news this past, well, few months, in fact, the past few years, couple of years anyway, has certainly involved the finances. And there's an article posted on the website, and certainly it's worth going and having a read of it. I think it's probably two or three pages back by now. But I noticed this in the paper this past week, and it was on Wednesday, October the 17th. It was entitled, it was one towards the back of the paper, "I've always identified with predators." But this particular individual, I'm not sure quite how his name is pronounced. So it's spelled O-N-D-A-A-T-J-E, so take it out of that. Something like Ondache or something along those lines. But apparently he was born in India, and he has made quite a fair amount of money in publishing over in Canada. He basically raised up from nothing, and he therefore understands the financial markets. He, in fact, from publishing, he went into financial circles. And then he went, and did some work actually writing books of travel over in Africa. But it was interesting that he says he foretold that the American housing bubble, based on the reckless mortgage spending, would burst with repercussions for us all. While The Power of Paper, which is a book that he's been writing, was at the printers, it did. And then another warning tremor. People started queuing to get their money out of Northern Rock branches across Britain. "The government says that it will back Northern Rock," he says scornfully, and quote, "they don't have the money. They're desperate to get somebody to buy it and to get it off their back." And he sees the problem. But once you get a market like the way the markets are at the moment, it is a case that even governments, they can't control the situation. And when you look through the newspapers recently, here's one from the Telegraph on October the 20th. That's today, isn't it? 20th? Today? Yes, it is. That's Saturday. There we go. "Borrowers fears the squeeze as the banks push up loan rates." It says lenders have increased their personal loan rates by as much as 12 times the rise in the Bank of England's base rate in the wake of the credit crunch. So you imagine that. It's 12 times the rate of increase. So basically, the borrowers are certainly finding a real problem at the moment. Yesterday's paper said the dollar dives as the US slump spreads. It says the dollar has plummeted to an all-time low against both the euro and a basket of global currencies amid growing fears at a disorderly rout as the US property slump spreads into the broader economy. The greenback dived after the US Philly Business Index dropped 10.9 to 6.8 in October, with a shock fall in new orders and inventory. So again, this is from the business section of the paper. But I was noticing that it, reflecting that drop in the dollar, you can actually watch the oil price. On the 16th of this month, it was pushing the $87 a barrel. On the 19th of this month, that literally, we're looking last week, it was pushing $90 a barrel. Now it's fallen back again, but the trend, 3 days, $3, which gives an indication of the problems that are actually being faced within the financial world. Another one here, this is from Thursday, October the 18th. "Banks drop the best mortgage deals over the credit crisis." It says banks and building societies have withdrawn 40% of their mortgage deals over the past 3 months as the credit crunch takes its toll on people trying to buy a home. I think I actually read an article that was saying that what was going to happen is from the actual banking restriction of money, it's going to spread out into the real world. And it says, "It is the latest sign that lenders are tightening their best deals and attempt to recover lost profits following the turmoil in the financial markets. In total, 5,511 different home loans have been withdrawn since July this year." That's different types of loans that have been withdrawn. "According to the financial publishers MoneyFacts, the fall in the number of products on offer is the steepest in the subprime sector, as the banks and building societies have stopped offering home loans to people with poor credit histories." So again, reflecting what's going on in America, that is primarily over here he's talking about. Another one, this is from Tuesday's the 16th of October. It says, a third of mortgage applications are now being denied. Almost one in three mortgage applications have been rejected by lenders in the past 6 months as the credit crunch takes its toll on home buyers. So that's another area. Mortgage payments, this is from Wednesday's paper. This is all this past week. Wednesday's paper, it says, mortgage payments at highest since 1992. Homeowners are paying more for their monthly mortgage repayments than at any time since the property crash in 1992, according to official figures published yesterday. So again, you see right the way throughout the whole spread this problem within the financial sector, and it certainly reflects something that, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, what you need to do is to go down not at the fact that the mortgage rates are having to go up, the mortgage deals are having to be withdrawn, and all these things which are, if you like, the effects of the problem. What you've got to do is actually go down into the boiler room and see what the problem is. And the boiler room, as he brings out, is the way men deal with each other, the way men deal with each other and how human beings get on with each other. Now, when we look at that, and when we start looking into these areas, there are many things that we start to actually see. One of them, I turn over to, just briefly, over to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. We find something that God absolutely detests, and He counts it almost like as a total abomination. He says, when the Eternal, in verse 29, shall cut off the nations from before you where you go to possess them, and you succeed them and dwell in the land, take heed to yourself, you're not snared by following them, saying, how did the nations serve their God? So will I do likewise. You shall not do so to the Eternal, your God. In other words, you don't serve God in the way the nations are round about. He says, for every abomination to the Eternal, which he hates, have they done to their gods. For even, and he puts the absolute pinnacle of the whole procedure, for even their sons and their daughters have they burned in the fire to their gods. And we find this today within our society of abortion being a real major issue, and yet it's tried to be swept under the carpet. An article here from Channel 4 faces backlash over the abortion scenes. It says, Channel 4 was braced for a backlash last night after it included graphic footage of an aborted fetus in a documentary about a highly controversial issue. The picture appeared in Dispatch's Abortion, What We Need to Know, to coincide with a parliamentary debate about whether the maximum time limit should be cut from 24 weeks, the highest in Europe. It was also time to mark the 40th anniversary of abortion being made legal in the UK. And the problem was that what they did is because the doctors involved that they were interviewing would not allow them to actually see aborted fetuses, they therefore brought in some footage from the United States and showed what these fetuses at this particular age would actually look like. And there was absolute uproar. And the uproar... where are we? Let's have a look. I should have actually circled this. But Tony Kettridge from the Mary Stops, which is the abortion clinic, which appears in the program, did not know about the US pictures, and such graphic images were not helpful. I do not think footages like that actually contributes, he says. We believe everybody's entitled to their opinion and should not be foisting their opinion on others. And yet what they are doing is foisting their opinion on the entirety of society. There was another one that I did actually read that the wording of it, it wasn't that one, it must have been another one I was reading another time. The wording of it was the wording that was being used by the surgeon was it wasn't a child, it wasn't deemed a child, it was something which was just to be discarded, and yet only when you actually look at it in the right way can you start to understand what you're doing, and what we're doing is burning our children in the fire to our God, which is materialism into convenience and everything else, and putting it through the hospital incinerators. And this is in fact what we are doing as a nation, as an age in which we find ourselves, and it's coming from this concept that there is no God. And It is certainly, you find another one over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if we just turn over there. 1 Timothy. It says here, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. This is something which is expressly expressed as far as the end time is concerned, brought out by the Apostle Paul here. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they are lying about the situation, about particularly whether there is a God or not. And that is something that we find continually, and also the stealing as well. But it says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats or food that God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. In other words, vegetarianism, that also is a doctrine of demon. And vegetarianism and celibacy are two things that are actually labeled here. A little one in the Daily Mail, it says, fury over dolphins sold for tourism. Animal protection groups are outraged after a judge gave permission for the 28 live dolphins to be flown from the Pacific to a marine park in Dubai, where they will be trained to entertain tourists. So in other words, you've got to leave everything just as is, and the idea of using an animal in this way was something which was horrendous in the eyes of the animal protection group. It says, it's heartbreaking, said environmental campaigner Loris McHill, after a high court in the island's group capital, Honlara, dismissed his bid to stop the shipment. So in other words, they were trying to stop the shipment, and yet they, the judge said no. I mean, they can go ahead and sell animals, which, you know, animals are animals. They're not to be used, regarded as purely something that has got to be protected like a human being. Now, there is law within the Bible that you find within Scripture that you've got to treat your animals properly. But it does not mean to say that you cannot go ahead and use them. And yet many of these individuals are in fact vegetarians, and they are looking at the entire subject in a lopsided way. In a similar way also you find single and longing for a baby. Lisa would do almost anything to conceive. A solution was so shocking she hasn't dared tell her own mother. And this particular article describes how she went and got in contact with a semen agency and then made a reservation to sleep with some, selected the donor she wanted and went and slept with him. And again, we're looking at a society that has lost its way. It's lost its direction. Now, if we find a society that has lost its way, then you're going to find that every other kind of evil will follow from that. They've lost their way because they've lost the sight of God or any kind of morality. The one whose word upholds the reality that we're in, they say that this all actually happened without any kind of design, without any kind of designer. And once you do that, you then slide into the area that the word that controls morality also has no bearing, and therefore anything goes. And that's what we see in society. So what we've got, when we're looking at the financial system, you're looking at a case that it's like this, this £5 note that I've got in my pocket says on the front of it, it says, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £5. Now, it's a travesty that used to say £5 of silver, but in fact, it's no longer £5 of silver at all. It's just £5. In other words, you give one fiver into the bank of England, and they'll give you another £5 back. In other words, another £5 note. So it's going nowhere. It's just going in a circle. But it was that promissory note. It was the element of a promissory note. And what we're looking at is that because people cannot trust one another, when you go down to the boiler room and you see that, look, people are in fact rejecting God and rejecting the ways of God and the thinking of God. They're burning their children in the fire to their gods and these kind of things. You find that this trust between people is therefore eroded. And therefore, what will you have? Anything that has to do with paper-based derivatives, of which money is one, is going to suffer. Anything to do with promissory notes, anything to do with insurance is going to be another one. People are fiddling insurance companies, and the insurance companies are fiddling people. And all the time, we see this idea of having no God also spreading out into various areas of society that are going to have absolutely astounding consequences into the future. It is interesting that they've just found, and this was from Monday's paper, Monday, October the 15th, they've just found that the universe is actually lopsided. And it says, a legion of amateur stargazers has posed a profound challenge to cosmological theories. Our universe appears to be lopsided. In other words, the Earth isn't just kind of randomly thrung out in the universe. It sits in a certain location, and it's examining and looking at the universe in a certain way. It says, professional astronomers have asked the public for assistance in mapping the night sky and were stunned when they received millions of hits on their website within a few days, enabling them to classify galaxies in the universe at rocket speed. The response has been so great that within a couple of months, the Galaxy Zoo project has completed a preliminary analysis of the heavens, which would normally have taken years. The survey has revealed that the collection of millions of stars, dust, gas, and planets in galaxies prefer to rotate in an anti-clockwise direction from the viewpoint of an observer of Earth. Now, if you think everything's flung out from a Big Bang, and these galaxies go spinning out from the Big Bang, you'd think that they're all coming from a central point, and we happen to sit within this somewhere. And we look out, and we see some going clockwise, because you're looking at it from one side, some will be going clockwise. If you look at it from the other side, they'd be going anti-clockwise. So you'd look at all the galaxies and you should actually see 50-50. 50% going clockwise, 50% going anti-clockwise. But that's not the way it works. From our perspective, we are looking at the universe from a unique perspective. It is not just an arbitrary position that we find within the universe, because the survey has revealed that the collection of millions of stars, dust, gas, and planets in the galaxies prefer to rotate anti-clockwise from the viewpoint of an observer on the Earth. And that, I believe, is significant, because God set the heavens, God set the Earth, God set the people on the Earth, and the place that we have is very special to Him. Yes, it's on the side, it has Jupiter and Saturn to fend off comets as they come in. It has various things within the structure of where we actually sit within this particular solar system. But the fact that we can look out and there is a certain shift into a clockwise direction is something which should not just appear, it should make certain people in the cosmological world think that this is not just purely arbitrary. And yet at the same time, you get something like that, and at the same time here it says, how I'm creating life in a lab. This is actually written by a man called Craig Venter, who talks about how he's artificially producing DNA. His team could design green microbes that digest toxic waste. Yeah, and an awful lot more besides. Let me read some of this. My car pulled up in front of the Oval Room restaurant at Connecticut Avenue, a few blocks from the White House. It was Friday, September the 3rd, 2003. Now notice the date, 2003, so 4 years back. And I'd been summoned to an urgent meeting by Ari Patrinos, who was then working for the Department of Energy and the head of the Office of Biological Research. Joining us was John Marburger, science advisor to the President, and Lawrence Kerr, director of bioterrorism research and development for the Office of Homeland Security, among others. This high-powered gathering had been arranged only 2 hours before, and the group was keen to discuss a breakthrough in the project that that their department was funding, a $3 million initiative to develop, quote, a synthetic chromosome. It was the first step towards making a self-replicating organism with an artificial genetic makeup or genome. So this man is involved at the new cutting edge of biotechnology, and he's trying to make an artificial life form. It says, research of this sort that we were engaged in could theoretically have devastating consequences if it fell into the wrong hands. Teams of scientists have, for example, worked on making the bird flu virus, H5N1, actually making it even more infectious to humans. Making it more infectious to humans. Why? It goes on, determining what would turn the virus into a pandemic strain capable of infecting millions of people worldwide is crucial if we are to be safeguarded against it. But such findings could also be abused by bioterrorists. So they're already working on actually taking the bird flu virus, which is you know, at the moment predominantly goes into birds, and manipulating it to make it worse for human beings. And if that thing got out, well, the consequences, obviously, you understand. After computational analysis of what individual genes did, and he was talking about how he's working on a certain mycoplasma genitalium. This is a certain virus, actually. We ended up with a set of about 99 genes that we thought could be dispensed with. That is to say, one-fifth of its genome was redundant, and we now had a glimpse at life in its bare genetic minimum. Now, I read earlier articles in the news analysis that said that these 90-odd percent of the genome, which they reckon is redundant, is actually not redundant. It is used within the division process. And if that is just not matching what they actually are dealing with, we do not know what the consequences are going to be. We simply don't know. It's the unknown which is the problem. It says, with new techniques we had developed while making a virus, Ham, Clyde and I launched into attempt to construct the entire genome of Mycoplasma genitalium from lab-made chemicals. And he goes on, it says, if our plan succeeds, a new creature will have entered into the world. Now this, sorry, I beg your pardon, this is actually a bacteria that they're starting on. Albeit one that relies on an existing organism's cellular machinery to read its artificial DNA. We have often been asked if this will be a step too far. I always reply that, so far at least, we're only reconstructing a diminished version of what's already out there in nature. I added that we have conducted a major ethical review of what we are doing, which reported in 1999, and we feel that is good science. The first synthetic genome is only the beginning. I now want to go further. My company, Synthetic Genomics Incorporated, is already trying to turn an organism into a biofactory that could make clean hydrogen fuel from sunlight and water, or soak up more carbon dioxide. From there, I want to take us to unknown waters, to new phases of evolution, to the day when one DNA-based species can sit down at a computer to design another. I plan to show that we understand the software of life by creating true artificial life, and in this way I want to discover whether a life decoded is truly a life understood. You know, talk about Brave New World. The problem is, again, where's it coming from? It's coming from atheism. It's coming from a concept that there's no God. We can go ahead and manipulate whatever we want. We're just the product of blind evolution anyway. Therefore, just manipulating these genes will not have any real adverse effect any more than evolution has done over millions of years. But what we don't understand is that there is a spirit force behind the world today that is allowing man to go, and God certainly is allowing man to go in a certain direction under that spirit force. But that spirit force is malevolent against mankind. And certainly, once you've got mankind dealing with each other in the way that we find within society today, there is your boiler room. There's the boiler room for all the other things. And what we therefore witness are things such as this problem on the financial markets, where money, which is basically a paper-based derivative, something that says, I promise to pay the bearer something, is suddenly becoming valueless. And we've got to understand that it's coming from a spiritual source. Even that, even those physical things that we witness within the news are coming from spiritual sources. And it is that understanding and that knowledge that we've been given within the church that makes our view on the news totally and utterly unique.